Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everybody. Sportive time. We are now getting even more pathetic and recording on a Saturday night. We did a Friday night. Nope. Got to be even lamer. And here we are, Saturday night. I'm Brandon. John is here. Hello, John.
I'd like to challenge the idea that this is somehow not cool, because this is definitely the coolest thing I've done all week.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
So why not a Saturday night?
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's that or really nothing else. Yeah. Stu's here, too. Hi, Stu.
Hey, Alexa. Play the Power Loon.
Okay.
That was a request from Dropshot Bob on Twitter. He wanted me to open the program with a shout out to the Power Loon, and apparently to get people's Amazon systems to play the Power Loon.
So I love it.
Right now somebody's, you know, Wade, let's say Wade is listening to this on a Valentine's Day morning, probably, you know, warming the car up to take the kids to church. It's called church.
Church.
And it's got the sportive on that comes on. He's going to get like some Bob Seger on the way to Our Lady of the Mysterious Wounds Catholic Church in wherever the fuck he lives. Let's say Apple Valley.
Sure.
This was even more fact-free than usual, I got to say.
So anyway. So after that casual...
That sounds like a pretty good Sunday.
Yeah, sounds like a great Sunday. So after that casual blasphemy, how are you guys doing today?
Well, surviving. Hanging in there.
Yeah,
We're at the nadir, I believe.
Yeah, it's
of just life in general.
Just, yeah, it's all ganging up. I mean, I think if the weather was nice, it'd be a little easier. But man, it's just...
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I made some comments along the lines of, wow, winter is just flying by, because it had been a very warm winter up until that point.
Yeah.
But boy, the brakes got thrown on this last week.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You could make a pretty good argument, and I will, that February 13th is a day that we'll look back on and say that was the worst day.
Yeah.
It's five below. A week from now, 10 days from now, 2 weeks from now, it'll be warmer. Mm-hmm. And then a couple weeks after that, it'll be daylight savings. Yep. And then a couple weeks after that, a bunch more people we know will be vaccinated. And this is it. Yeah. We are spending the lowest of lows of our lifetimes taking out all personal stuff, just in general in life, together. I think that's heartwarming.
That's what this podcast is for.
Yes. We're not finding comfort in our family.
No.
Our families provide us no comfort.
God, no.
Not
anymore. We've been locked in our house.
No. Do you remember that? Do you remember those times? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's over. She gone.
She gone.
Okay. But we're here. We're going to do our best. And I think the best way for us to celebrate the nadir of life is to just start by talking out the little pigskin, little Vikings football, the worst team that has given us so little throughout our lives, so much heartbreak. Is there any chance that next year there's any light at the end of the tunnel? Because I know that they hired the Kubiak's child, to now run the offense. And they're giving the Wolves a run for their money in terms of nepotism and country club behavior.
I think you can say it's worse than the Timberwolves. Because their nepotism is so bad, they couldn't hire the coach's son because he already got hired. So they had to hire a different coach's son instead of a qualified black man. So that's cool. Yeah. Great team that we
They're running out of sons. That's Christ. How
it's indefensible. I mean, everybody wants to get, you know, the Kyle Shanahan, the one good coach's kid. And so now,
yep.
And yeah, it's just, it's so silly. And I know when they have the number one offense in the league, people will throw this back at me, but you know, it's so cold right now. I think they're going to forget that I was wrong. And that's important.
Yeah. No, you're in the clear. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to be fine. I don't think that they will have the number one offense in the league.
You know, so I sure don't either, Brandon.
Not too worried about that. No, I don't. I don't see it happening.
Did we cover all of the Cousins rumors in the last program? I cannot recall.
I don't believe we did. I'd love to get into them.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure the Vikings season was over the last time we had a podcast.
Yeah. Ugh.
I think that was before the playoffs.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. So
Stu, where do you think Kirk Cousins is going to be he's going to be the Vikings quarterback next year.
Yes,
but if we wanted to just get into, do a little bit of daydreaming right now, what else do you think could happen? Where could he potentially go? What are the sewing circles saying? The rumor mill, gossip, the scuttlebutt.
You know, I'm hoping he goes to Houston because there's such a cluster bleep down there that he could end up there just because they've already shown that they're banana pants. Mm-hmm. They like traded DeAndre Hopkins for like Cole's cash. I mean, it was they traded him for nothing. The trade was so bad that the Vikings made a good trade by comparison. So that's all you need to know about that. And there were enough like rumors to where you could at least see, well, yeah, maybe that would work. Whereas, I mean, I think before, it's just like we're stuck with Cousins until that contract is over. It's just it's such a anchor. It's such an albatross. You're not going to get rid of him. Just deal with it. But I think there was enough meat on the bones of the rumors that you could actually allow yourself a moment, just a moment of joy, thinking that they would be out from under that contract and have somebody, anybody else at the helm, be it, you know, I mean, Deshaun Watson would obviously be the best of all possible worlds, but I figure if he moves, it'll be like part of a 3 or 4 team deal. We would end up with like Jared Stidham or something like that. But
somehow, yeah.
But you get like picks and you get cap room, and you just basically, you wouldn't have Kirk Cousins as your quarterback because you know what he is, and he is not going to be what gets you over the top. He's just Kirk Cousins. He is just straight. He's going to be the 12th best quarterback in the league, and that's not good enough.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Well,
you know, the other thing about the Vikings, though, this whole offseason so far, really since the end of the season, has been consumed with these wild rumors about whether the Vikings could get rid of Cousins and bring in somebody else. And it's kind of strange to me because in no way is Kirk Cousins the worst part of the Vikings.
No.
It's not like a couple years ago when they had Case Keenum as the quarterback and then a pretty darn good team surrounding him. Mm-hmm. You could make the argument that, oh, they're one quarterback away, which is when they went out and got Kirk Cousins, which was its own fail in itself. But now you look at the Vikings and nobody is saying, well, if they just got Deshaun Watson or whoever, this would be a real contender. It's more like if they get Deshaun Watson plus somehow replace 65% of the rest of the team in an offseason, then they've got a chance next year.
Yeah. Right. Their defense fell off a cliff, and that's probably not easily addressable. But, man, it would be a lot of fun to watch Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Anytime we want to complain about being Vikings fans, we have to remember that Houston Texans fans exist. Oh, I can't even imagine how brutal that must be.
Yeah. Real bad.
Two guys worth caring about. One just asked for and was granted his release, not even a trade, just like, please let me go. And the other guy is reportedly refusing to play for them and desperately wants a trade.
They put their youth pastor in charge of the whole team. I mean,
the youth pastor should not be running a team. No, yeah, we agree. Yep.
I saw several references to that, and I was like, well, why do they keep calling this guy a youth pastor? He's an actual youth pastor.
He
I was shocked by that.
He walks into the room.
I was like, oh,
he turns the chair around, and he just wants to rap with you about JC. I mean, that's just what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't lend itself to building a quality franchise. And Houston is one season removed from having Kansas City on the ropes in the playoffs. The best team in the NFL.
They were in the playoffs for years.
Yes. And now
it's like,
they just are.
There's a bar for front office decisions where if your front office decision was made by Glenn Taylor, and even Wolves fans would be like, somebody's got to do something. This guy needs help. He's clearly lost his mind. Then it's the worst possible front office decision. This drops below the Glenn Taylor Mendoza line for front office decision making.
Yeah. He at least kept KG around for many years.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Is there any chance Kirk Cousins could be, what about the Niners?
Yeah, I had heard that one too.
I thought I read the Niners really wanted him.
Yeah, same here. Because he played with Shanahan before.
Shanahan makes sense. And they're a good team. And then we'd have to take Garops?
Yeah, I think we would get Garoppolo. But I mean, just, even if Garoppolo is not the answer, you get out from under the Cousins contract. It's the whole thing. That's as much as.
Yeah, the key
else.
Is not having Cousins.
Yeah, the key is getting out from $31 million a year. That's the key.
Yeah, I'd take that.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with a year of Garops and then draft somebody. Just desperately want them to draft a quarterback. Yeah. It's been so long.
Yeah, I mean, there's people out there. There's guys you can take in the. I mean, it's. There are options out there. Maybe the Dolphins want to move Tagovailoa and take one of the studs this year. There's options out there if you can move that contract. And again, as we said 5 minutes ago, Kirk Cousins is going to be the Vikings quarterback next year. Don't get your hopes up. Don't ever get your hopes up. You know this by now. Don't get your hopes up.
If you had a very inventive front office who was looking to just get buck wild, there's for sure suitors for him, right? He is good. He's not amazing, but he is good. We talked about the Niners. You could, as a Niners fan, fairly quickly talk yourself into, that's huge for us. We're going to be really good again because he is a definite upgrade.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots. I believe it was our friend Michael Rand who mentioned the Broncos.
From the Daily Delivery?
There's a bunch of teams
from the Daily Delivery
Daily Delivery. Okay. Yeah, Michael Rand from the Daily Delivery podcast.
Okay. Hey, I really enjoy that podcast.
It is good. It is good.
I heard they had a guy on. They had a guy on. His name was Chicken Fingers 6ix9ine.
Yeah.
Takeshi,
I love that.
He's
that
rapper. It was like SoundCloud rapper guy. Yeah, he was on talking about penalties or something. I don't know. I didn't listen to his part.
It was the fourth episode. It was such a nice professional catch up on the day. And then once we were affiliated with it, it's full on conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. It was full on 10 minutes of I'm just asking questions.
Just bumping right up into just edging into slander.
Right. Yeah. Just borderline. I love that's how long it took for us to muck it up, but no, it is really good. But he mentioned the Broncos. There's got to be a half dozen teams at least that would be able to see Kirk Cousins and say, yeah, that would be good for us. I'd be willing to part with something to get him. Now the problem is, obviously, as we just talked about with the Clint Kubiak hiring, Zimmer of course is such a creature of habit, or at least he seems like it on the outside. That I can imagine him just, I would assume that he just wants to keep continuity. He's one of those guys, right?
Oh yeah.
And I know that he's not the final decision maker for some of this sort of stuff, but he's a factor. And I don't know. Do you think that he's in the, you know, on the calls with Spielman is just like, no, just keep him. He's fine. I don't want to mix it up. I obviously don't, you know, he's 1,000 years old. He doesn't want to rebuild, of course. I don't know. You know, again, our conspiracy theorist friend, Chicken Fingers, I think he's, his point of view is that Zimmer did not like Cousins, right? Or doesn't want him, or
correct.
Not a big fan?
Not a fan. Wanted Teddy back.
Ah.
Which yeah. I did too.
It is funny how all of Zimmer's points of view are the same as ours, mm-hmm. secretly.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's weird how that works out.
It is.
Yeah. Might be projecting, some would say. That's a thing that happens. So I don't really know, but do you guys have any reading the tea leaves of if he wants him back or not?
Well, you just mentioned the idea of Zimmer and Spielman having calls to discuss this stuff. And I imagine those calls where Spielman is basically Toby from The Office and Zimmer is like an aging, uncomfortable roast comic. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like Don Rickles at his most racist.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying incredibly hateful, awful things. And everybody's son with a name starting with K has to just sort of chuckle along like, good one, boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. And Spielman just has to sit there and take it because everybody hates him so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm saying is I got a lot of trust in the Vikings brain trust to really make some good decisions this offseason.
Yeah, they're not going to figure it out.
No.
The most likely scenario is they will have Cousins for like 4 more years, and then they'll probably get like Matthew Stafford at 38 years old
yeah.
for like
Followed
3 more years.
A year of Jim McMahon, a year of Warren Moon.
We get McMahon
Donovan
back,
McNabb.
Obviously. Wade Wilson, Sean Salisbury, yeah. We'll get them all.
Boy, if they get Wade Wilson, that will actually be something, as he has left this mortal coil. So that'll be a typical.
Yes. Oh.
That'll be a tough one. It'll be something.
I am comically tugging at my collar.
Yeah. They could probably get Wade Wilson Jr. I think that'll be somebody's kid. Just, you know. There'll be a qualified black quarterback out there that'll just, like, take, I don't know, you know, Jay Fiedler's son. That'll be who it is.
Bubby Brister Jr. Actually, I say that Bubby Brister Jr. would himself be about 40 years old at this point.
Wade Wilson died on his 60th birthday. Damn. R.I.P.,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
That's really sad. I had no idea that happened.
Yeah, I think he had
type 1 diabetes.
Yeah, not great.
He got the diabetes. Well,
so
let's wrap this
one up. Pour one out to
Boy, that was...
for Whiskey Wade.
That was a sudden spin into the ditch in this conversation. Good work, everybody.
I thought we were in the ditch, and it turns out, nope, we weren't quite there yet.
Yeah.
You always, yeah, it's not good.
Not great.
Well, it was fun to dream.
It's
fun
good.
To
it's
fun
dream.
To dream about where Kirk Cousins could be, not on the Vikings, and know that they're going to be 8-8 again next year, or 7-9, or 9-7. There's only 3 options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, yeah,
That was fun.
Yep.
All right. What do you think? Should we move on?
Hey, transition.
Let's do it.
Hard cut. Oh, boy. John, let's just do a tight five on the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, Jesus.
They make me so
I'm going to get a beer.
They make
you guys
me so sad
going.
Because...
Yeah, please, take your time.
I know that they're terrible. I know that many of my favorite players are deeply flawed in one or more ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think just about every player on the Timberwolves has a glaring weakness. Mm-hmm. And yet, somehow, I just am rooting so hard for this truly awful team in a way that is fairly... It's fairly new for Wolves fandom because the Wolves have had awful teams every season since they appeared in town 30 faithful years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They've just had awful teams and awful players. And most years when they were 6-20, it would just be a great opportunity to give up and forget that they even exist because they're just so hateful. But this team, I am rooting for pretty much every guy on the team like they were my own children. It's like rooting for the ninth grade basketball team to finally win a game because they haven't won a game in 2 years and you know all the kids and you're pulling for them so hard.
Yeah. So this is different than like trying to tune in to see if like Luke Ridnour has a good game, you know?
Exactly.
Or like
great
maybe
comparison.
Anthony Tolliver will hit a few threes tonight because you get to a point where like, who gives a shit? I don't
think
care
Wes
if
Johnson's
Martell
gonna get
Webster.
Double digits tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have turned away from the let's hope this retread sort of figures it out at age 29, like the guys we just mentioned. They're all so young. They are the youngest team in the league, or at least I think they are. Anthony Edwards should be a college freshman. Jaden McDaniels is a tiny little baby. Even Naz Reid is 20 years. They have like six guys right now that are under 21, I believe.
Somehow Naz Reid is in his seventh season with the Timberwolves and he's 21 years old. I don't know where they got special permission to draft an eighth grader, but
his dad's in accounting and it was like a take your kid to work day and he just ended up making the team. So,
which for the Timberwolves is pretty much how people get hired. So,
yeah. Jim Reed, head of accounting.
Yeah.
It is a weird one because when Towns went out and there was a couple games just like mentally broke my spirit against terrible teams that they just got manhandled or blew a lead or something. I don't remember exactly which one it was that broke me. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pretend they don't exist for a little bit until Towns comes back. So I avoided them for a few games just because I didn't have any interest. But then Edwards started playing a lot more, and he's kind of the main reason to tune in, at least for me. But you're right. There's so many other guys where you're just sort of curious to see if they're going to figure it out some night. I'm the same with you. Yeah.
There's so many guys that are like the 14th guy on the roster that they run off the bench, and it's like, oh, wait, I love Jalen Noel.
Yeah.
I really want this guy to do well. And then Vanderbilt comes off and you're just thrilled to see him. And it's way different than the years when I was imagining that Darko had a personality and making up things for him to say on the court. Though you really had to talk yourself into the Wolves during those times. But this, it's just, it's so many really fun guys. It's got to the point that on the Daily Delivery podcast, which I swear is the last time we'll mention this, Mike Rand was talking to, I think it was an ESPN NBA draft expert, and he mentioned that the Timberwolves should listen to offers for everybody, which is true. They're the worst team in the league. Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to trade them anyone, they should at least think about it, mm-hmm. because all of the players they have are not real great, but despite them being the worst team in the league and despite all of these players having major flaws, my reaction to that was, whoa, 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 whoa. We can't...
Slow down, pal.
You can't trade my guy, Jaden McDaniels. We can't get rid of him.
Right. No, it really is like, yeah, take the calls, try to do something, but they don't need a roster shakeup right now as much as they just need to like all be 3 years older.
Right.
You know, it's really easy to see in, and again, I know this is going to be comical. They are, my point is not, hey, they're going to be good in a few years. We all know they're not going to be good in a few years. They're going to be a terrible team in a few years. Either Towns will be gone, or Edwards will have quit and decided to try to make it as a running back in the NFL, or something right. weird and crazy is going to happen. Or Ryan Saunders will just still be here. You know, there's a bunch of different ways that they're going to be bad in 3 or 4 years. So I'm not saying that, but you're right. I think the point is, for the first time, and I have no idea how many years, the, oh my God, they should be desperate to make a trade to do something because this roster is so horseshit, is not the problem as it stands this season. It's a problem, but it's a new problem. We're not used to just, hey, actually they have promise and they just need to play a little bit more. I can't remember the last, I'm starting to realize I've got some sort of problem with this season, but the year when Rubio was a rookie, and that was kind
which
of
we mentioned on every podcast.
That's why I started to bring it up, and I was like, come on, Brandon, think of something different to say mid-sentence. Think of something different to say. It didn't work. But that was the last time you can remember being like, all right, cool. Well, these guys, again, they're about 500 at that point. It was kind of a surprise. But their issue is just needing to play more together. That was going to be kind of the thing. It's been since that season that we've had this be the specific reason, the fun reason that they're bad. Because they're bad now, but they're not hopeless at all. They are. They're the Wolves. But on paper, they're not hopeless.
They're generally hopeless, but they're not specifically hopeless like they usually are.
Yeah, yeah. And the last 6-7 games have been, and I can't profess to have been watching a ton of them. It's kind of been in and out for me, and it's hard to watch the Wolves now. It's like I have to like borrow a login. I don't know, it's just hard. But they've been close. They've been competitive, so at least they've been watchable for a couple weeks now. And that in Wolves territory is an incredible compliment. They've been watchable for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. They haven't won any games, but they've been watchable.
They really have made the leap from losing every game by 19 to losing every game by 3.
I know. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Towns is a bright spot, of course. I mean, he just kind of came back. I can't believe how much he's missed. It's really incredible. He was so dependable for the first few years, and now it's basically the last 2 years have been a wash. But he's a bright spot. He's worth tuning into. Yeah, I mean, justified, but
I'm glad he's alive. Let's put it that way.
Right. Yeah. Sounds like he got hit pretty hard with COVID. That's just so brutal. Yeah. And Edwards, I would say, is probably, to me at least, the second reason you tune in. He's going to do something 3 to 6 times a game that really gets you out of your seat, which is incredible. But beyond that, he also, beyond those moments, is going to try a lot, and he's going to try to make an extra pass, which is the idea that he's anything like Wiggins is, I think, obviously and clearly so far, they're not comparable at all. No. Wiggins would have those 3 plays, and then you'd forget he was on the floor the rest of the time. So Edwards has been a bright spot. We mentioned Jaden McDaniels. Love that guy. Jalen Noel, love that guy. Naz Reid. There's just guys that are just like, you're not quite good enough yet, but it is kind of fun to see you try. So
somebody pointed out that if you were to separate the Wolves into the starting string and the backup team, there's really no telling who would actually win a game between your first string and your second string, is not a good place to be if you want to be a good basketball team. But it sure is interesting to keep you hooked the rest of the game because, I want to see that guy get 14 minutes a night. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I've been doing – this is basically just killing time before we have to talk about Rubio. But before Rubio, I also – the non-bright spots, Josh Okogie has been terrible. I'd love to see him have 0 minutes and just be done playing. But he plays a lot, so I don't see that coming anytime soon, but man, he's one of the few guys. Yeah, he's struggling. And it feels like he's,
but yet,
again, it feels like he's been on the team for 7-8 years. It's only his third year, but this is now 3 years of him being basically unable to dribble and like missing dunks and stuff. So,
and yet I'm rooting so hard for him.
Poor guy.
So hard for
him. Trying so hard out there.
I am in Josh Okogie's corner.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I would love if he could figure out how to dribble.
Yeah, that would be great. It's
so cool.
I'd love if, I mean, he's another one of those guys that you think, maybe he's using the wrong hand. Maybe that's the problem here.
Yeah.
Have we stopped to consider the fact that he could be left-handed?
Well, and you think about Jarrett Culver, who's now been injured for a while, but like, he looks like he's going to burst into tears every time he makes a mistake. So you, again, yeah, you do feel like he's like your kid. You're like, oh my God, Jarrett, please,
dude,
just make the,
okay,
make the layup. Who gives a shit? Yeah.
Yeah. Your family loves you, man. We're all behind you. We all want you to do well.
Ugh. I mean, D'Lo is not a whole lot of fun to watch for me. That's not my guy, but he's, I know that he's important. He's just, yeah, I don't know. But we have to talk about Ricardo.
I don't think we have to talk about Ricardo.
No, we don't. But he is the guy I was expecting to be the most excited to watch, and the guy who has brought me nothing but just pain and heartbreak so far.
Counterpoint? He's the guy who needs our support more than anyone else.
Oh, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving Ricardo Rubio. I will never. I will argue with whoever wants to argue with me that he's still good, still in his prime, as he said. But it's been tough. I did some. I actually was doing a little bit of research today on what exactly has gone wrong for him. And you know, there's a lot of these advanced stats. There's a box score plus minus. There's value over replacement player. There's like true shooting percentage. There's per, obviously, and a bunch of others. And just sort of spent the afternoon digging into what has been happening with him. And I found out something pretty interesting. And the kind of the thing that summarizes why he's so bad. He can't shoot.
It is
at all
a little bit unreal that this was the criticism of him 45 years ago when he first came into the league. And I assume from how hard he seems to work on everything that he works on his shot a lot and it never seems to get any better.
He is a career 32% three-point shooter, which is bad. It's not awful, but it's not good either. It's a little bit below league. I think league average is like 34% or something. So he's like a little bit below a league average three-point shooter for his career. Last year, he was 36%, which is really good. And he was really good last year because of that. This year, he's at 19%.
Just how?
He's made 8 out of 41. He has made 8 three-pointers this season.
That's just amazing.
It's incredible. And that's really the main reason that he's so bad. His two-point percentage is down as well. He's like, you know, he's been in like 44% most years. He's like 41% this year. But really, it's the three-pointers. He does not do himself any favors by the shots he takes. Every single one of them looks like a mistake or an accident. He wasn't expecting to shoot. He didn't want to shoot. He's on one leg, a 9-foot fadeaway that he tries to bank. Just really, really ugly shots, like shot selection. But, you know, beyond that, like, you look at, like, his per-game sort of stuff, his kind of the same amount of rebounds, maybe fewer assists, but he's playing fewer minutes. So pretty much in line there. Steals the same, turnovers the same. His free throw percentage, which has always been the weirdest thing, he's, like, incredible at it, 84%, 85% his entire career, same as this year. He really, truly, like, the joke that he can't shoot has been a very, very, very obvious and blatant and terrible joke all season long. He just completely forgot how to shoot. And that's been tough. And, you know, like, some people will complain about, like, it seems like he was better at passing, or he seems like he's had a lot of really dumb turnovers this season. I think that probably makes sense. Again, I haven't watched every single minute, but like Britt Robson, for example, talks about that a lot. Maybe that's happening, but it's not really showing up in like per game stuff. That's not actually a problem. The problem is he can't shoot. And I don't know. I mean, he's 30 years old. He's not going to learn how to shoot, but if he could just get back to average, they would be a lot better. Because he plays not a ton of minutes, but a decent amount. So,
And normally, on a normal Timberwolves team, you would say, this guy's garbage, put him in the trash. But now it's like, maybe we can open the gym before school or something for him. He can just get some shots up before school starts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
I would
fine.
Love that. I'm not, John, I want to just reiterate, I'm not, my love for Ricky has not extinguished at all.
Yeah.
Has not abated, and it won't. But, yeah, it's been tough. I also want to point out, John, trying to see the positive side of things. You know me, Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky.
Yeah.
That's what you call me.
Mr. Positive.
Oh, yeah. Sunny side of the street. I want to remind anybody who is still even sort of cheering for the Wolves, which probably is nobody, it could be worse. We could still be watching Andrew Wiggins.
That's your silver lining to everything.
At Car least
down,
we don't have to
furnace
watch.
Furnace goes out. At least Andrew Wiggins isn't here anymore.
Yep. Ah, my God. And yeah, D'Lo's been bad, but Wiggins, and we saw this coming a mile away. Wiggins does a couple fun things a game, and standing next to Steph, he's going to have more open shots. He usually can make open shots. He's going to be a lot better for that. And it will just be this sort of thing we're going to have to deal with when we're going to have to continually be like, no, he actually still sucks. It's just that he's playing with Steph. He actually still sucks even while playing with Steph. I just looked up some of his stats this year. He's very bad for them. So that helps. That makes me feel better.
That little, takes this thing out of it for you.
A little extra spring in my step knowing that Andrew Wiggins, even in the best situation you could possibly be in, still is a bad basketball player making max money. So if there's any silver lining for us to get through this mid-February lull, just remember we do not have to watch Andrew Wiggins play for our local team anymore.
Brandon, that's hateful, and I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, whatever gets us through the day. That was my Wolves take. And I'm with you, John. I think it's a good point. Really cheering for these kids, these children, these talented children that want so badly to win and still have no idea how to do it.
All right, Stu, you can come back now.
Stuart, are you back?
Ace Frehley, Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, Peter Chris.
All of them. You nailed it.
Oh, God.
Way to go.
Sorry, I was napping.
Sure.
Holy shit, you guys went 20 minutes. You guys did 20 minutes. Well done. Holy shit.
And it wasn't even all complaining. They're 6-20 and we weren't complaining about them. They're just so tiny. They're just little tiny babies trying so hard to make it against these grown men. It's adorable. And they lose every game. Every game. It's incredible. What a weird team. Well, I think we should move on. John, I want to hear, I need an update on the Minnesota Wild. How have their last couple weeks of games been?
Has there ever been an 11 game NHL season before? Has any team ever played only 11 games?
I was looking at the standings just to see how they were doing because I was curious. I know they haven't played much. I saw that there's actually a team or two that have played even fewer games than the Wild. I feel like the Wild have been off for like 3 weeks. Is this must be a pretty common occurrence in the NHL, or is it a weird scheduling quirk?
At any given time, about 5 NHL teams have their seasons suspended because of COVID outbreaks. And
wow.
I don't know if that's going to improve, because at this point it's starting to be fairly clear that, you know, in other sports, it seems like it's not passing from team to team. That's not true in hockey. It's clearly one guy gets sick on one team, and then he gets an entire other team sick, and So they both get shut down for 2 weeks.
You mean
weeks,
the
so.
Only league that has the mumps always has issues with COVID?
The ones that play in very cold air that's like perfect for the virus?
Huh.
Every year the Wild have an outbreak of something that is just how did everybody on this team get hand, foot, and mouth at the same time? What happened here?
Staph infections. I didn't realize that could be a thing. Jesus.
And so it seems like, of course, there's no way of knowing yet, but it seems like they played the Kings a couple of times. The Kings had a couple of guys get sick who then got one player for the Wild sick, followed by nine other guys getting sick. And so they may play on Tuesday. It sounds like they're kind of aiming for Tuesday, but I'm not sure they're going to have 20 players on the team at that point. And even if they do, half of them are going to be guys who normally would be playing in the American League instead of for the Wild. So it's hard to be real optimistic about whether it will go well for them. It's mostly just sitting and waiting and waiting for enough guys to get healthy that you can start to see what the team should look like.
And I guess, is there any changing strategy from the NHL, like the league, to have this happen less often? Or is it just sort of like...
That's funny. That's a good one.
Well,
thank you.
Did you not watch the NFL this year, Brandon?
Yeah, they just powered through it, for sure. Just were like,
Their strategy was... Well, if you get COVID, you get COVID. It's going to happen, and we'll put you on a list, and 2 days later, somehow, you'll be off the list. But,
yeah. But hockey is – you're a guy who pays attention to all the sports more than anybody else I know. If you were going to rank the – which sport had the worst outbreaks or the most impact because of COVID, is the NHL number one? I know college football seemed to – okay, so it's an easy – yeah.
Well – college football was strange because there was really no plan in place for most of college football because they didn't have the financial backing or the testing plans or anything. It just was one guy would get COVID on a team and then 45 other guys would get COVID because they didn't do anything to try to mitigate that. And then their seasons would be canceled for 4 weeks. So it's college football certainly was affected, but it's hard to compare exactly because college sports and pro sports are different in the financial realms that they play in, you think, or the ability they would have to standardize practices across anything. But I think, like Stu said, they're playing in cold rinks and everybody's in each other's faces all the time. I don't see how you can prevent things unless you have people wearing masks on the ice all the time. That seems like the only possible thing you could do, and nobody seems willing to do that.
That's reasonable and impossible, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they can wear masks, but then all the, like, you know, overbearing parents in Minnesota will file a lawsuit and say...
Let them play.
Let them play. My little Carter can't, you know, fulfill his potential as a third-string goalie if he's wearing a surgeon's mask because I was bad at high school sports. So, sorry.
It doesn't make any sense. I've got a 9-year-old that's playing traveling basketball, and they wear masks, and I told my kid he had to wear a mask, and he went, oh, okay.
Yeah, kids don't
Whatever.
Care. Kids don't care. I mean, it's the adults. They're fucking idiots.
My kids will put their masks on, like, as they're getting their stuff ready to go to school and wear them in the car and not complain, whereas, you know, us grown-ups are like, the last possible second. Like, they don't care. You're right.
Yeah, they just don't give a
shit. Anyway.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's coaching 10-year-old basketball because his son is on this 10-year-old basketball team, and he had one of the parents just go off on him and pull his kid off the team because they're required to wear masks now. They have to wear masks while they practice. They have to wear masks while they play. And this mom was like, oh, we talked to young Caden with 4 N's, and he decided that he didn't want to play if he had to wear a mask. Sure, I'm guessing a 10-year-old who just wanted to play basketball with his friends really made that decision that happened to line up with
this 10-year-old reading a blog post from the Federalist Society is clearly acting on his own agency. Yeah, sure.
No, it's like when Chicken tells us what Zimmer actually wanted. It's funny how it just lines up with exactly what you wanted. It's so weird how that continues to pop up. It's crazy, man. So my question is, so there's no real plan in place for the NHL to like try to minimize some of this. They're just going to power through.
Well,
are they going to be able...
They keep coming up with things like, they're removing the glass from behind the benches to hopefully promote better airflow. Now, does that sound like a real strategy? Or does that sound like, I mean, it's like, oh, we're going to send everybody back to school, but we're going to remove the windows out of the classroom. So that'll promote better airflow. Or we're going to have a box fan.
How about this, John? Is it possible that we could transition the entire season to be played outside?
It's possible.
Fine. There's outdoor rinks. That'd be a blast. It's outside. Then they'd be fine.
Outdoor NHL. They are going to have a couple of outdoor games.
They should just be all outdoor games. Doesn't seem that hard.
Let's make this happen.
Totally. Yep. Trademark it.
But I'm sure it'll be just as fine as if they remove the glass behind the benches. I'm sure that'll prevent anybody from getting...
Oh, right. What am I talking about? Why would you need to move outside? They have the glass airflow issue. Nailed it.
They're trying to... I thought I read that they were trying to do rapid tests in addition to the other tests, which it doesn't seem like that's a perfect strategy either, but sure, test everybody as much as you can.
Yeah. It's just deck chairs, though.
Did I see right that the NBA is testing people 3 times a day?
I think so, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess. I'm happy. It does sort of explain when you look at the stats of the number of tests that are done statewide. It's like most of these are the Timberwolves, I'm guessing. Yeah. Just from the Timberwolves franchise, they're doing like 10,000 tests a day.
Right. Do you think that some of these like super duper stars have already gotten the vaccine on the sly?
I'm going to say no.
No.
Because... The absolute outrage that would ensue if any of that came out would be beyond awful.
Yeah, it would not be worth the risk for like LeBron to get a secret vaccine when he actually could just get the real one, and they would justify it of like, yeah, he's on video saying this is safe, and that's like, we'll set aside 50 vaccines for famous people for them to show that it's okay to try to get other people. That's how you would do it, but that does make sense.
At this point, you look at how the NHL season is going and the number of outbreaks they've had, and there's a little bit of me that wants to say, maybe let's just shut it down for a month until people can start getting vaccinated. Hopefully by March 13th, they'll be a little more widely available, and maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing that ever happened to society if we vaccinated some of these pro teams that are playing for entertainment. But
right.
Of course, I know this is not how things work.
Nope.
No, but it very well could in a month from now, right? When there's more like FDA approval for some of these new ones, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
That's the hope, but it's not going to be, these outbreaks are not going to end until players are vaccinated. It's just, there's no way they can.
Right. Well, that's my question. Are they going to make up all of these games somehow? Are they pushing the playoffs back? Or are they just going to be like, this team played 61 games and this team played 74 and, you know, we'll go by win percentage?
They keep saying that they're planning to make these games up and they've got some leeway to push the playoffs back. But what's going to happen is they're going to get to the end of the season and some of the teams will have played 56 games and some of them will have played 43 games, and they'll make up a playoff system as they go along to try to be as fair as possible, and that's what they're going to do. It's just, there's not going to be a way around it.
Trying to make it fair as possible, John, does that mean the Wild will be the ones who get screwed over?
Well, we know that, or what does it matter? They'll be, maybe they'll be the 9th seed in the playoffs, maybe they'll be the 7th seed in the playoffs, but...
Mm-hmm. Is it
when it comes to playoff time, the league doesn't have to do anything that the Wild don't already do to themselves.
Is it just insanely frustrating as a hockey fan to have this continue to happen, or does it feel a little bit more like, eh, it is what it is, and hopefully they'll get back soon?
I don't feel like it is what it is, but it is, it does sort of feel inevitable.
Yeah.
And so you look at this and there's nothing I can do. There's nothing anybody can do except not playing, and that wasn't an option for anyone. So it's funny when you look at, even when you look at baseball, there would be great reasons to delay the baseball season for one more month, say, to say we're going to start on May 1st instead of April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And odds are by May 1st, everything is going to be fine. But it's almost also true that the people who are going to get COVID from playing baseball starting on February 15th or whenever spring training opens, the people who are going to get COVID are also the ones pushing for the full and normal season, because that's how they get their paychecks. And so it's strange to look at the incentives, even when it comes to the NHL. The guys who are taking the risk are all the guys on taking the risk are all the guys that are on the ice that are risking getting COVID, and in a lot of cases are getting COVID, but they're also in some ways choosing to be out there.
Yeah. Totally.
It's not like anybody's taking their scholarships away, but this is the only way they get paid. I think it's difficult, but I don't know what I can do about it, or even how I should feel about it in a moral sense.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, it's a balancing act, of course. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
Makes sense.
There are no good answers. I was hoping that there wouldn't be terrible COVID outbreaks, but that ship has sailed, so.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Question for John.
Yes, go ahead.
What did Herb Brooks say between the first and second vaccination?
What?
Again. That's pretty good, right? I shotgunned a beer while you guys were doing the Timberwolves thing, just for the sake. Hence the pronunciation.
Was it one of your classic wintertime 14% alcohol beers?
No.
Yeah, you had to chew it.
Just a Grapefruit Supreme. Nice low ABV one.
Stuart, I'm drinking a Moving Pictures beer right now.
Hey, that's what I shotgunned, so that's good.
Juicy IPA.
Juicy IPA. It's very good. It's tasty, if you like beer.
It is tasty. Yeah. Yeah, it's smooth and it's pretty juicy.
It is.
Look crisp. It's crisp, too.
Speaking of smooth and juicy, we should mention that Chicken Fingers is actually out of town. That's why he's not on the show tonight.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
yep.
We did not mention that out of town. So. I don't know where he is. I think there was like some mention of like Two Harbors, like some sort of separatist thing. I don't know. He's like joining Quebec. He's, you know, secretly French, and he's kind of ashamed, but he's like embracing that now. So,
you always go back to your roots.
Stu, can I ask you a beer question?
Of course.
It's half a beer question and half a finances of beer question.
Sure.
And my question is this: how come any juicy or hazy IPA costs more than a car payment for a 4-pack?
More hops, and it's a bitch to make those. There's a whole bunch of...
Why is it so difficult?
Because it takes a lot of, like, ins and outs and what have yous to make them.
Ingredients and resources.
Could you be more specific about ins, outs, and what have yous?
Absolutely not.
This interview's over. John, you've asked too many questions. Don't come at Dr. All Puck right. like that. I would love, John, can you imagine walking in and seeing like a 6-pack for like $7.99 of like a really good beer?
That would be great, yeah.
Now 6-packs, it's $19. It's a real bummer.
The 6-pack has really become the 4-pack. I've noticed that.
That's right. It's a 4-pack for $15.
There's 4-packs of Hazy's that are $32.99 that I have seen.
Yeah.
And if you
if
you're paying that much, it better like, you know, give you a hand job and like drive you home. There's just do not do that. That's insane. Don't buy $32 four packs of hazy IPAs.
Well, it's another type too where like any of the hazy IPAs that are less than like 6.5% or something are usually not that good. Like they need to be strong to be really good, which is a bummer. I love drinking one man mosh pit. I don't love that I can drink like 1.5 before I feel like going to bed.
Well, that's also age.
Figure it out, Stu.
That's age catching up to you, Brandon. I hope you don't.
I know.
Feel bad about that.
I love pretending I'm young, but I am 40 now.
No, it's yeah. Wait till you're 50. It really hits different then.
Right.
Again, God, I can't believe it. I just pronounced vaccination 5 minutes ago, and that really is bothering me. Sorry, it's going to be in my head the rest of the show. I'm sorry.
Welcome to my life, Stu.
I know.
Vaccinations. You get the vaccination?
Breast fist.
At least you're not saying things in a Jamaican accent like Brandon.
Oh, God.
Yaman.
No.
Yaman.
It's Saturday. It's super
cold. Vaccinations.
No, don't. Just don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
I'm going to get in trouble at some point.
Yes, don't do that.
I also want to say
it's a satire, God damn it. It's a parody. I'm doing a bit.
Every time now I see someone refer to Andrelton Simmons, I think of Stu calling him Anderson Windows, and I laugh again.
That's so good. Yeah, you really lost it there, John.
I really
you just
did
wouldn't stop
it,
laughing, and I wasn't sure what to do. I was trying to like move on, and you just kept giggling.
Yeah, I couldn't stop. Happened during work calls. I've thought about it over the past couple of weeks, and I've started laughing during work calls because it's funny to me.
Yeah. Let me ask you, John, how many times did you watch the cat lawyer video?
Several. I did.
It's such a short clip. Had to watch it 3-4 times just to really get it to begin with. You know, the eyes kind of darting back and forth. You didn't see that right away. I've got to be on like number 20.
There was a lot there. There was a lot to unpack.
Yeah. Yep. Really was. How are you guys surviving right now? What's keeping you alive generally besides, you know, food and water?
I think honestly, the other day when Anthony Fauci came out and said by April, we're hoping it's open season on vaccines. That was a bright spot for me.
Yep.
Because about 3 days before that, you, Brandon, had posted on Twitter a clip of some guy on CNBC, of all places, talking about basically the same thing.
Scott Gottlieb. And, yeah.
Whoever that guy, I don't know who that guy is.
It's like the FDA guy from a couple years ago. He's legit, I think.
Yeah, but I mean,
who the fuck knows?
I may have gotten him confused with the White House task force guy that was saying that we should gather everybody together and have 500 people at a time lick the same spoon, and
Scott
that
Atlas
would be our strategy. Yes.
Yeah, not the same guy. No, opposite guy.
But anyway, so when I heard that, that was the first time during this whole thing where it was like, maybe there's a way out of this. Maybe finally we are coming down to a way out of this.
It really feels like Memorial Day. We might actually be able to see each other.
Maybe. Hell yeah.
Which would be awesome.
Yeah.
Just to get like a full real summer. I mean, honestly, just for kids your guys' age, the kids in your household, to give them a summer this year would be amazing. Let them like
Want to send my kids over to their grandparents' house again.
I want to send them over to
their house.
Place. Dave can talk to them about
my kids too.
It'd be great.
Just a long treatise on why Telus Redman was an underrated Gopher running back.
God, I was not ready for that one. Oh God, I swallowed wrong on that job. Oh my God.
Yeah, but well, just warmer weather in general.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we had, when it was early December, a 35-degree day, you know, bonfire, sit outside, have some family over that we hadn't seen in a while, and it just was, like, so good for the soul. And you can do that. 35 and sunny, dude. You could be outside all day long.
Yeah.
And so those are really coming up here soon as well. And obviously, I think the, hey, we can't see anybody has never been the actual truth. It's like, no, you can see people. You just have to be outside or you have to wear a mask the whole time. And for most of us, we're like, well, fuck it. I'm not going to do that. That's too much. It's not even really seeing each other. But once it gets to be a little bit warmer weather, that becomes a reality again. And it just makes the weeks move a little bit faster when you know you're going to at least see some other human being in some capacity that you want to see on a weekend.
Yeah.
And so that's coming
that little,
up soon
that
as
little
well.
Endorphin rush of seeing, like, you know, somebody on Facebook saying, hey, got my vaccine. Hey, my dad got his vaccine. Hey, it's just like, that's,
yeah,
it does. Yeah. It's doing the work for me. But yeah, it's the way, it was Tom Petty's a singer, right?
No.
Yeah. Singer-songwriter.
That's not right.
Yep.
Race car driver.
The waiting, it turns out, is the hardest part. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
He was not wrong about that part. The waiting, it's hard.
You know, I've been pretty fortunate throughout this. I think I'm not like a huge extrovert. So there's some of that kind of just helps get through this. And of course I have my kids and get along with my wife pretty well. And there's been like stuff to do around the house. And anyway, I know that a lot of people have dealt with it, have had so many more hardships than me. I'm in the 90 something percentile of who's had it the easiest throughout all of this. But I remember, maybe I talked about it on this podcast. If I did, I'm very sorry. But a month or so ago, we got one of those magnetic monthly calendars, just a, you know, one of those dorky things you put on your refrigerator to kind of look at what we have going on the next month. And the day we got it, I started filling it out. And my kid, like Jones, has basketball practice. So I put all his basketball practices on there and I help coach. So that's a thing to do. And then I got done with Jones's basketball practice. And then I realized there was nothing else for the entire month besides basketball practices. And that was the worst day I've had since this entire calendar year. That just seeing it like visually shown on the refrigerator. Oh my God, for the next month, there is nothing to look forward to. There is nothing. I need something somewhere on the horizon, a trip coming up, even if it's 3 months out, or a planned, you know, we're all going to hunker down and then see somebody after 2 weeks and we all get something. I needed something and it wasn't there. And so that was, I just remember that being like the absolute, for me, like mentally the worst thing ever. But again, now you can start to see, like, I personally don't have any like penciled in plans to see people, but like, hey, if it's going to be 35 degrees, it's not that difficult to go and say hello to somebody and sit outside for a little bit, right? Or
yeah,
a month even from that. Like, my father-in-law just got his first shot. And so we're really close to just being able to like very easily see him again without, you know, feeling anything and nerves and all that. So, yeah, the waiting is the hardest part. But waiting when you've got a calendar that's got something fairly soon makes it a lot easier. And I think we can start to at least pencil in some outdoor activities or something, vaccinations or something soon, which will be, whew. Somebody said at one point that this, and maybe we've talked about this, but it's been some very interesting to me to think about, is this could be the perfect mirror mood wise to last year. Last year started out fine, January, and it got a tiny, tiny bit worse. And then in like mid-March, it sunk quickly. It was awful, right? And this might be the exact opposite. Just getting a tiny bit better every day, and then pretty soon we get a couple other things. It's just going to like skyrocket in terms of happiness and, you know, everything moving. So I do think that actually may be very accurate and true. So we're getting close. But I also like watching the Timberwolves, so why would anybody ever take my point of view?
We can't really trust your sense of fun.
I don't think so. No. Nope, not at all. Yeah. Have you guys seen the old movie about a boy, Hugh Grant?
Yeah.
Like, no.
John, you didn't see it. Stu, you did. Is that right?
I did.
That's correct.
So Hugh Grant is like a single dude who's like come into a bunch of money so doesn't have to work, and he's talking about like how he fills his days. He has nothing to do. I mean, he's not married, no kids. And he thinks of every half hour as a unit. And so he's like, I just have to like fill the time. So I go like, oh, haircut, that's 2 units. Shower, that's 1 unit. Lunch, probably 2 units. And he just like, when I started doing that in my head mentally to get through these days is when I realized I was somewhat losing my mind. But I think that we are close to not counting units anymore. That'll be good. That's for the birds.
You know, I've mentioned this before as we talk about this, but in some ways, I think less change for those of us who have really small children than for a lot of other people. We are, of course, missing out on seeing family and stuff like that, same as everybody. But in terms of the day-to-day and the units of trying to fill the time, my time is more than filled as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I am still, just like as I was doing on February 13th, 2020, I'm still every night checking my watch 50 times to see if it's bedtime yet.
Oh, I remember that. It's 6:47. My God, please.
Oh, is it 7:30? Can it please? Can the clock please keep going faster? Can we have bath time for an hour and a half tonight?
Oh, John, I remember it. I remember that so well. I'll never forget that feeling of just like, oh my God, why is the time moving so slowly? That is very temporary, I promise you, my friend.
I remember you, Brandon. We were talking one time about the awfulness of trying to play with a toddler, like play action figurines and stuff because tell you that you're doing it wrong. My daughter now, we will play and we will have, because of who she is, she wants to have elaborate, dramatic interpersonal interaction between stuffed animals and stuff.
Yeah.
And what this turns into is not, oh, we're going to have improv time where you pretend to be this one and you pretend to be this one. She will sit there and tell me everything that I'm supposed to say through this stuffed animal. And then if I get a little bit wrong, we'll go back and correct her. Like she's directing a terrible community theater play. And it's just 5 minutes of that is the longest hour of your life.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So, I don't feel like I'm filling the time, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right. Well, and we're going to be the people who either say it or bite our tongues. Well, John, your kids might be a little bit too young, but I think I'm in the sweet spot of being those people 5 years from now or 3 years from now or whatever, and looking back on this and being like, you know, I miss a lot of elements of that terrible year. I really, you know, I got to have lunch with my kids every day for months. And they're 9 and 6, so they're kind of the perfect age of like going to, they're not going to, I mean, sometimes they'll be complete pains in the asses and they're fighting and I have to scream at them on mute while I'm on a Teams call. And yeah, that shit happens. It's bad. But for the most part, I got to see them a ton. And we've had like open days. Like, what do we have Sunday? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We will do whatever we want, and that won't happen ever again. So I'll probably be that person who either, again, says it and annoys other people, or I just have to pretend that there weren't parts of this that ended up actually, for my specific situation, being something I'll be nostalgic about. So that's also another just sort of weird element of all of this. It's still terrible. Still very, very bad, but...
Meanwhile, I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, and the idea of an entire Sunday where I'm just stuck in the house with the kids still strikes fear into my heart.
Oh, my God.
Please, no.
Yeah.
You know what the worst thing about having a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old is trying to, in the wintertime, get them in the car to do anything.
Jesus.
You need no fewer than 7 adults to get 2 children, 1 4-year-old and 1 1-year-old, into a car in less than 30 minutes.
I don't know
why this is possible.
Reach across your kid's car seat to like click the buckle and then trying to like somehow back yourself out of being into your own car is, ugh. And my back was always like hurting and I was just like, I just don't even buckle this time. Fuck it.
Yeah. Just trying to get the 1-year-old to sit still so I can get his boots and his coat and his hat on while at the same time arguing with my 4-year-old about whether she can put her own boots on is just this. It's just the most soul destroying process.
And somehow, no matter what room you're in, doing that is not big enough. You're bumping into walls. You could be in a 50-foot by 50-foot entryway, and still somehow it is too small of an area for this all to go down.
And just
wet mud and dirt.
You turn one way, you turn back. The 1-year-old has firecrackers in his hand somehow. You don't even have firecrackers in your house, but he's got a lighter and a bunch of firecrackers and a handgun. Where did you get any of those things? What happened here? So you get that all sorted out, and you turn around, and the 4-year-old's got a bazooka, got the car keys, and is putting the car in gear, and you got to run out in the street and try to direct traffic. So
well, and you put your coat on first, so now you are just drenched in sweat. You'd have to go shower at this point, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
Stu, don't you miss it?
Nope. I'm reminded of the line in Dazed and Confused when Randall Pink Floyd says, "If these are the best, if I ever consider my oh shit, too many beers,
vaccinations,
vaccination. If I ever consider these the best days of my life, please kill me." So yes, that is I don't miss that part at all. I don't.
Yep.
They were adorable. I love them to tears. I don't miss it at all.
Yeah, I'm the same. Well, have fun, John.
Yep. Enjoy.
I'm trying, man.
Yeah.
They're adorable. They're wonderful. I love them dearly. But man,
it's a
every day is like seven days put together. Yep.
Just running out the clock every single day. Just running out the clock.
Run of the four corners. You know, you're just totally Dean Smith in it. So.
All right. I'm out. I'm out of words. You guys have any parting shots?
Can't wait to get a vaccination.
I'd love to. Can't wait to get a vaccination. If you guys want to do speaking of destroying souls, if we're going to do 20 more minutes on the wolves, I think we probably got time.
You know, the Daily Delivery Podcast may be every day, and it might only be 30 minutes, but I guarantee you they're not going to get 25 minutes in about the Wolves, followed by
no way
20 minutes about NHL COVID protocol.
Not possible.
No time for that.
Nope.
We go long form. This is the long form version.
Yep. We're going to rename it the Monthly Delivery. Just completely... try to tie ourselves closely to that brand, just like Stu does with his Twitter name. Stay close to Michael.
I do notice that the thing that I said I wanted to talk about with the Wild, which was the expansion draft next summer, we conveniently didn't have much time for that.
Oh, God.
I noticed that happened.
Yeah. Well, I left you half a second to bring that up. That's powered right through.
We didn't quite make it.
It was really important that I talk about a boy. That's such a relevant topic.
Just know that I see what you did there, and I appreciate you trying to help me.
Yeah. I love listening back, speaking of that About a Boy thing, I love listening back, and in my head I thought it was interesting, and then I listen, and I'm like, that is the stupidest shit I've ever heard anybody say, and I said it. I was the one that said the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Be that nice to yourself.
No, it's, yeah.
Quit picking up my friend happen. Brandon.
There's a huge disparity, though, between something in your head and something actually said out loud. We can agree on that, right? Sometimes.
Especially when we can't pronounce words. Something we all struggle with from time to time.
There's a huge disparity. All right. This was fun. This was actually a very good Saturday night. We have gotten through this Saturday night. And for those listening on Sunday, on Monday, whenever you're listening, we are now confident and we feel very good. We are on the upswing. It is only up from here. February 13th, 2021 was the worst day that we've lived through, taking personal things out in the world.
We're only talking about the Timberwolves here. This is only referring to the Timberwolves.
Referring to the Wolves. The best is yet to come.
Yep.
I'm positive. Someday we'll be right.
It's all 360s and slam dunk pointers, guys. We're good.
All right. That'll do. Goodbye, everybody. Right. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.